We will be looking at the book of Hebrews. The letter to the Hebrews. We'll be moving through Hebrews and seeing what the author of Hebrews has to say to us about the Christian life, what it means to live by faith. And today we have in the very beginning of Hebrews a wonderful image here that I want to focus on today and orbit around today. The author wrote in verse 3, "He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word." He is the reflection of God's glory. He is the exact imprint of God's very being. These are deep words, my friends. These are heavy words and words we need to think about today. Is the imprint of God on your soul today? Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word, your imprint, to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in seminary and graduate school, as I was working through my studies, I received an appointment to pastor churches. That's not uncommon. It happens frequently that someone, when they're in the graduate program studying theology, are given churches to pastor. And I had a four-point charge. Now, what that means is I had four churches that I would preach in every Sunday. Four little country churches. I had Pine Tops, Temperance Hall, McKendree, and Marvin. And I would preach there at 8, 9, 10, and 11 o'clock and drive between the churches. And each one was no more than a mile apart on Sunday. It was an amazing experience. I either loved my sermon or hated it. I either knew it very well by the third time, or I was changing it between churches. And the few people who would periodically go with me would say, "Greg, I could preach your sermon better than you can by the last time you preached it." That was frequently true. Well, these churches were all amazing churches, and each one was completely different, which meant you had to be somewhat schizophrenic to pastor these four churches. Because the illustration that would generate laughter at one church would get stone-cold silence at another church. And the belly laughed at that other church, the first church wouldn't like at all. They were completely different churches, and the most amazing church on that charge was Temperance Hall United Methodist Church. What a wonderful name for a church, Temperance Hall. It was founded during the Temperance Movement back at the very beginning of the 20th century. Temperance Hall was an amazing, strange little church in the wild wood. It was extraordinarily difficult to pastor this church, primarily because, I mean, we joke about everybody being related to everybody, but in this church they really were. There were two families, the Harolds and the Halls, and everybody was related to everybody else. Anyway, they were building a new fellowship hall. They really wanted to have a place where they could eat and have Sunday school classes not in the sanctuary. So they were building a nice fellowship hall about two-thirds the size of the fellowship hall right here attached to our sanctuary. And we were laying the foundation. And we had poured the foundation, And we decided we were going to have one small section in the entryway where people would put their handprints and sign their name in the wet cement. And so we had poured, and we were pouring, and we had people come out on a regular basis that day, and we would, once we'd had a section ready and nice and smooth, they would come and they'd put their handprints, or in one case, footprint, because she didn't have hands. Or we had one person put their wheelchair print in the cement. We had our jokes about this was our own Chinese theater and our own Star Walk of Fame. Anyway, put our hands in the prints, make prints in the cement. And as it dried, those prints hardened and they were there, and my own prints are over in one corner in the cement at Temperance Hall United Methodist Church to this day. I was in North Carolina a few years ago, and I was at Duke University for a graduate reunion in theological study seminar series, and I drove out to Temperance Hall just to see how things were. And you got to realize this is out in the deep country where they don't even lock the church. So I drove out there about 8:30 at night and opened the door and went in to look to see what it looked like on the inside. And it was wonderful. They were taking care of the over, and I found the area of the entryway where all our handprints were located. And it was such a wonderful experience to look at the handprints and look at the signatures and remember these wonderful people who, well over 10 years ago, shepherded me in my first years in the ministry. These wonderful saints, many of whom I know now had gone on to glory. And I went and I looked and I found my own handprints. Somebody had put a plant on top of them. I don't know if that meant anything. I had to move the planter to find my handprints, but they were there. And I put my hands into the prints that I had made more than 10 years earlier. And I realized that although a lot had happened to me in the intervening years, still I was a part of that church. That my imprint, the imprint of my hands into that cement, reminded me that I was still, in a way, a part of that church and those wonderful people there. They may have put a planter on top of me, but I was still there. I was still there. Where is God's handprint in the cement of your foundation? Where is God's handprint in the cement of your foundation of faith? Where is the handprint of the Almighty God in your life today? We can see examples of the handprint of God around us. I mean, take the Bible. The Bible is an imprint of God's very nature into this reality, into pages with print and ink, letters and words. Gold edging or no, leather or hardback or paperback, it matters not. The Word of God is an imprint of God's nature, of God's very being, into history in the written Word. We have the handprint of God in our baptisms. We have the handprint of God in the sacrament of Holy Communion today, in bread and in the cup. We have the handprint of God, the touch of God's grace, indelible as handprints in cement. We have the handprint of God all around us today in this family of faith. We have the handprint of God in the hymns that we have sung. We have the handprint of God in the prayers that we have prayed. We have the handprint of God in the scriptures we have heard, in the psalms we have heard, and indeed in the sacrament we will receive. We have the handprint of God all around us this day. Where is the handprint of God in your foundation? Have you covered it up with a plant? Or is it there for all to see? The handprint of God. Now, the author of the Hebrews was talking about Jesus. That's the He that he was writing about when he wrote here in verse 3. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. There is a movement in theology over the last 100 years to state that Jesus is not God, that rather Jesus is simply a human being whom God exalted, a human being through whom God spoke, a human being, a good and wise teacher, someone you should look up to, a philosopher who established a way of life, but not God. And there are those who say that he was God, and then he gave up all that God stuff to become human, and to be one of us, and walk the dusty streets with us, and speak the good news of God to us, and show us the way that we should live. And then when he was resurrected from the dead, God gave him back his glory. God gave him back his godness. There is a movement that says that he was God, he became man, and then now he's God again. But both those positions, those who say that he really wasn't God, but that he was just a good and wise teacher, and those who said that he was God, became man, and then became God again, both positions are wrong. And this scripture here illustrates that wrongness. What does it say about Jesus? It says, he is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. In human flesh, my friends, in Jesus of Nazareth walking these dusty streets, talking with these dusty apostles, preaching the good news to people most of whom would not hear it, speaking to the Jewish leaders and being nailed up on a cross for all to see, in this human being, Jesus of Nazareth, we have the perfect, complete, and whole imprint of God's very being for all the world to see and know. We have the imprint in human flesh. The incarnate Word of God in human flesh. The imprint of God's nature in human flesh in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is God, and he's also human, too. That's kind of hard to get your brain around, isn't it? How can Jesus be completely God and completely human? I don't know. It's a mystery. But it's a mystery we proclaim. We have Scripture to back us up that Jesus is indeed the reflection of God's glory, even in his incarnation as a human, and the imprint of God's very being. We have that imprint in the Holy Word. We have that imprint in the sacraments. We have that imprint in our fellowship here together today. The imprint of God's very being, the reflection of God's glory. Sadly, my friends, we are tempted to put a planner over it, to put a dust mat or a rug to cover up the imprint of God's glory. Sometimes we act as if that imprint isn't there. Sometimes we want to pretend that that imprint isn't there. We cover it up. We put a plant over it. My friends, where is the imprint of God's very being in your life? Where is the Holy Spirit working in your life to transform you and make you more and more and more a reflection of God's glory? Where is the imprint of God's hands in your life today? As we begin looking at the book of Hebrews, I want us to focus on that idea of the imprint of God's glory, which was in and of and totally Jesus of Nazareth. Where is that imprint? Where is Jesus in your life today? As we look at Hebrews, I want you to ask that question of yourself. Where is the imprint of God's glory in your life? Where is the imprint of Jesus in your living? You see, I believe that if we cover up that imprint, if we try to hide that imprint for whatever reason, I mean, I don't believe that the people at Temperance Hall were trying to hide me and my imprint on that floor. I don't think they were ashamed of me and trying to hide me. In fact, I know they weren't. I asked them about it, and they said, oh, no, we just had to have a plant to put, place to put a plant. Sure. Well, sure. Old Miss Harrell, you know, she went on to glory several years ago. We put a chair over her. We put a plant over you. Big deal. You're still there. Yes, indeed. Sometimes we don't intend to cover up the print of God's glory. Sometimes we don't intend to mar the reflection. Sometimes we don't intend to cover up that handprint of Jesus in our lives. It may not be intentional, but my friends, we've all done it. We've all, at some time or other, covered up that imprint of God in our lives. I want to encourage you as we go through the book of Hebrews, and as we see this revelation about Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews and about the way of faith that the book of Hebrews will proclaim, I want us to look in our lives and see where we have covered up that handprint, that imprint, that wonderful reflection of God's glory that Jesus has given to us. I want us to look and to see where we have covered it up. And even if it has been by accident, I want us to take whatever it is we have put over Jesus and throw it out of our lives. I think that deserves an amen. Amen. I don't care, my friends, about anything being heard or understood but this. I don't care if you take nothing here today to heart but this. If you've covered up Jesus in your life in any way, if by mistake or neglect or accident, you've put something over the imprint of Jesus in your life, throw it away. Get rid of it. Toss it out the window. Set it aside. Move it to someplace else in your life so that it doesn't cover up the imprint of Jesus' glory in your life today. If you take nothing from here this morning but this, I'll be happy. If you hear nothing today but this, I'll be satisfied. You forget the theology, the thinking about God that we talked about a few moments ago, and hear only this, I'll be happy. Remove that which is covering up the imprint of God in your life. Receive the Holy Scriptures, the imprint of God in the written Word, and hear what He has to say to you. Sing the glories to God's name in the hymns, the imprint of God in the hymns. Pray to Almighty God. And in your prayers, let the glory of God reflect off of you and back to Him. Receive Holy Communion. And in this imprint in bread and in wine, receive that imprint of God again into your life so that you can uncover that imprint for all the world to see. If you take nothing from this place today but that message, I will be very happy. Receive the imprint of the very being and nature of God in your heart and soul today, in Scripture and in song, in the sacraments and in our fellowship together, and lift off of that imprint whatever you may be tempted to set on it. Reveal it for everybody outside those doors to see and know that you have had the hand of God on your life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.